And I bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Something from him. We know tonight if we come to see one another, we'll definitely leave disappointed. If we come to hear from a man, we'll leave disappointed. But if he comes, then all things are possible. Amen. If he comes in the building tonight, deliverances can take place. Miracles can take place. I wonder tonight how many would just bow your hearts with us as we look to him once again. And let's just humble our spirits in his presence and ask his mercy and grace to come upon the meeting tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, as your believing children have gathered here tonight, Lord, we have not come for form. We have not come for fashion. Lord, we have not come to be seen or to be heard. But Lord, we have come for one motive and one objective, Lord. We have come for one purpose. And oh God, that is to lift up the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, Lord, your word said every knee would bow, every tongue would confess. And Father, as we come here tonight, God, we come as needy children, Lord. We come with, Lord, no doubt situations, circumstances, Father. Lord, no doubt things facing us in our lives that, Lord, maybe no one would know about except you and the individual. But, Lord, we come tonight knowing that your word is still a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I pray tonight, oh God, that you would send your grace in the building. Lord, I pray if there would be one spirit here that would try to hinder this meeting in any way, I pray you would drive it out tonight, Lord. Father, I pray that the Holy Ghost would come in power and demonstration. Lord, if there would be one here tonight, Lord, that has not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire, Lord, your prophet said you've still got that same fire tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would send that fire through this building tonight. May you set every heart on fire. Lord, may we be as Isaiah, dear God. May we leave this place tonight, God, screaming, Lord, here am I. Send me, Lord. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers said, amen. 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 Do you love the Lord this afternoon? Amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. Sure nice to see you. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we'll go straight to the Word. We'll invite you to the book of Jonah, the first chapter. I hate to ask this, but if it'd be possible to turn that fan off, I'd appreciate it. That it'll blow my voice right out the other door. Amen. So we love the Lord this evening. Are you happy to be here? Amen. Sure, good to see all of our friends here, so many here, and good to see our friends from New Zealand that's made the trip. We was actually with them this time last year, and then to have them here this year sure is an honor. We appreciate Brother Doug for arranging these meetings and having us here and the time of fellowship, and good to see everyone here this evening. Amen. We just have something here up on our hearts tonight in the book of Jonah, the first chapter. I'm not much of a teacher. I'm just a preacher, so if you'll help me preach, we'll get through this. Amen. But in Jonah, the first chapter, in the first verse, just looking here, the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. Now that's a divine call. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. And notice he's not just going, but he's going with a commission, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Now notice, the Spirit of the Lord told him to arise and go do something. And it wasn't that Jonah didn't arise, But he arose and did the opposite of what the Spirit of the Lord told him to do. Notice, and went down to Joppa. So he rose and flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into to go into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was to be broken. I'd also like to look in one other scripture, the book of Luke, the 12th chapter and the 48th verse. Luke, the 12th chapter and the 48th verse, a very familiar scripture here. We're breaking in on the scripture here. But in the 48th verse, Jesus speaking says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes." Now, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So we ask the Lord this evening to add the blessing to the reading of his word. As you may have your seats for a few moments tonight, I want to, by the help of the Lord, to speak to you here for a few moments upon this thought. And if I would title it, I'd like to speak to you on recognizing our responsibility in his presence. Recognizing our responsibility in his presence. I just wonder tonight, how many believers do we have among us tonight that can say, "I'm a real genuine believer in what God has sent this generation"? Can I just see your hand? If you're a real believer, you're not ashamed to be a believer. You're not ashamed to be identified. Amen. That God has done something in the generation that we're living in. Brother Bram would tell us, he'd say, "Now, we believe that we're living in the hour that when God is doing something." We believe that we're living among them now. He said, "I believe tonight that I'm preaching to the congregation that is laying and is waiting out there just to get ripe." I really believe that with all of my heart. I would say it's the same now as it's always been. So Brother Branham was actually preaching to a congregation in 1965, and he recognized that he was not just talking to anybody, amen, but he was talking to a specific, special class of people. That if you study the message, you'll find he says, "We're laying in the presence of the Son, and we're ripening, amen, by the presence of God." And I believe tonight that I'm not just talking here to a bunch of young men and women that has gathered in a building tonight that's come to see one another or to, amen, be in another youth service or to get another friend. But I believe I'm speaking to the bride of Jesus Christ that is not coming into power. But I believe right here tonight we have already come into power. And I don't believe that we're grandchildren, but I believe with all of my heart we are the sons and daughters of God. The Bible does not say, amen, that he give us power to become grandchildren, amen. But the Bible says he give us power, amen, to become the sons of God. Therefore, we know that God, amen, doesn't have grandchildren. Now, when I go into an area to minister, sometimes I'll be studying and I'll look through some tapes and see if Brother Branham visited that area. Now, we're very well aware that Brother Branham visited this area. Matter of fact, he lived in this area. And in a message, "Come follow me in Tucson," he said, "Now you kids," he said, "let's have a little word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for this time to know that we are assembled here, the young and the old, the middle-aged, and we have assembled, amen, this side of eternity once more to speak about you and about the things that pertains to everlasting life." And these young ones sitting here tonight, he said, some of them are graduating, some has already graduated. He said, "But I realized, Lord, something that happened just a few hours, amen, before that great shock or that great blast had taken place in the mountain up there north of Tucson, when the angels of the Lord came down, I remember what was said, and especially about the young people. I pray thee, Lord, to help us to understand, and may I be able to say something to these young folks tonight that will help them along the journey. For Lord, we all need that help at this time." So in my humble opinion of studying what Brother Bram's talking about, I don't believe, amen, that Brother Bram was saying that what happened was just for the preachers. I don't believe he was saying what happened, amen, was just for the deacons or for the trustees. But he said the Spirit of the Lord directly told him, amen, that there was going to be young people in this generation, amen, believing this message. Think tonight, friends, that every generation, amen, is not here riding upon another generation, but there is a promise, amen, that every generation must have its own revival. And if God has required every generation to have its own revival, then God must provide a way, amen, that that generation can have a revival. And to think tonight that God has not lost one ounce of power, amen, but the same God that met William Branham was the same God that met Paul, was the same God that met Peter, and that same God, amen, is in this building tonight. He's not here in creeds, he's not here in traditions, but he's here in the power of his resurrection. To think the prophet would say they can talk about what used to be, but they cannot produce it. But think tonight, church, that we are not a generation that just has thunder, amen, but we've got lightning. We're not here just talking about history, amen. We're not studying about what God used to do, but we believe with all of our hearts, amen, it will surrender ourselves to him tonight. Then the same God that changed Paul on the Damascus Road is the same God that'll come in this building tonight, and he'll change your heart, he'll change your attitude, amen, he'll change everything about you, because he's not got you here just to be another young man, he's not got you here just to be another young lady, but he's got you here for a purpose, amen, and that purpose is the message of the hour. Now, I believe with all of my heart that there has got to come a time, amen, that we get down to business with what God has sent us. Do you agree? Amen. There's got to come a time that we quit looking at this message as just another religion or just something our parents is involved in and our grandparents was a part of. Amen. But is there anybody here that's ready to stand up like Isaiah and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Amen. I see that this is more than a book. This is more than a tape. This is more than a picture on the wall. Amen. But this is a responsibility, amen, that God has allowed to cross my path. To think the word responsibility means the state or the fact of having a duty, amen, to deal with something or having control over someone. It's the state or the effect of having a duty to deal with something or having control over someone. A thing that one is required to do as a job, as a role, as a legal obligation. It's a moral obligation to behave correctly toward or in respect of. So the responsibility means that you've actually got something to do. You've actually got a responsibility to deal with something. Now, let me just say, amen, we go to youth camps and we go to youth meetings, and I'm not against them. I believe them and I preach in them. Amen. But I believe there's got to come a time that we just get out of the cycle of it's another youth service, it's another youth camp, it's another youth meeting. And maybe someday down the road, I'll actually deal, amen, with the things that Satan is trying to pull over me. I believe tonight, amen, is a God-ordained moment for you to deal, amen, with the things that Satan would love to bring over your life. To think the prophet of God would say, see, God is responsible to his word. For my thoughts, amen, are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But then said Moses began to think on his ways, how that he had went off and on schooling and training, and he knowed there was a call of God on his life, but he had tried to work it out on his own way. Moses knew that there was something different about him. Can I just tell you, there's something different, amen, about every individual that is sitting in this building tonight. There's something different about you, amen. And if God has ordained you differently, he didn't do it by accident, but he did it by purpose, amen, that he didn't place you in this generation to fit in, amen, but he placed you here to stand out. Then if God has brought you here to stand out, then I think it's time, amen, that we start doing what God has brought us upon the earth to do. To think, he said, many of us preachers get in that trouble. He said, there's a call of God upon our life, and then we go off and get a schooling, amen, that tells us that the days of miracles are past, and there's no such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Them days was for a day gone by. He said, God lets you think on your ways. He said, that same God that wrote the word still lives and holds you responsible to it. See, amen, God called Moses and gave Moses a responsibility. But Moses come to a place that he didn't think the God that called him, amen, could adequately equip him for the commission he put up on his life. And Moses said, I'll go to school and I'll get a training and I'll do this. And before long, Moses found himself in a place of failure, amen. But when he came in the presence of the burning bush, amen, he received something more than theology, but he received an experience. Can you help me preach tonight? He received an experience, and that experience did more for Moses in 5 minutes, amen, than and 40 years, amen, in seminary. I tell you tonight, church, amen, Jesus Christ is here. That same burning bush is here tonight, amen. And we can go and we can run and we can try to do whatever we think that is going to better equip us to be the bride of Jesus Christ, amen. But if He placed a seed in your heart, that is the greatest equipment that you need, amen. Everything you need for this journey is in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To think tonight that God changes His word for no one. God didn't change His word for Moses. He didn't change His word for Paul. He didn't change His word for Peter. He didn't change His word for David. And He's not going to change His word for Andrew. He's not going to change it for Zion. He's not going to change His word, amen, to fit this generation. But He will change this generation, amen, to fit the word that He's concerning you. Think tonight, church, amen, that David, there was a word concerning David. There was a word concerning Moses. There was a word concerning all those. And to think tonight in this Bible, there is a word concerning you. It is not a word of defeat. It's not a word of failure. But the Bible says, greater is He that is in you and he that is in the world. Think tonight, amen, that all that was in God, He poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, He poured in the church. Then there's not one person here tonight that can run and say, God cannot give me the equipment I need to fulfill the commission. My, He changes His word for no one. See, then His word says there must be a token applied. God didn't change that. I know that was in the Old Testament, but let's just think tonight in Exodus, the 12th chapter, that the word of the Lord came unto Moses and said, apply the token. And Moses took responsibility of the message that came to him. And he came and he said, now go home and apply the token. Now you realize the father was actually the one responsible to apply the token, which the prodigal God said, the blood to the door. See, now that father had a responsibility. If that home was going to survive the death angel riding through the land, that father had to go home and he had to kill the lamb. He had to put the blood over the door. Amen. See, he had a responsibility. And you realize today, young men, that I think it's time we realize, amen, that we've got more of a responsibility than getting the next level on a video game. I think it's time we realize we got more responsibility, amen, than trying to get a fancy car and a fancy watch and a fancy. I think there's a responsibility that has come up on young men in this generation. Listen, friends, I'm going to preach tonight. Amen. When boys don't even know if they're boys and girls don't know if they're girls, God has called you in a wicked and perverse generation, amen, not to be another person to fit in, but to stand out with some responsibility. See, the prodigal said in your heart, he said, that's where God wants the blood today, not on your hands, amen, but in your heart. His identification of His scripture in the last days puts it right back on your hands. See, then the blood tonight is either in your heart or it's on your hands. There's only two places that the blood is. It's either in your heart and you're sealed by that blood, or it's on your hands and you're responsible for that blood. See, but Ben said, see, any of us that is not beneath that blood, God is not responsible for anything that is outside the covering of that blood. Think tonight, friends, amen, that if you're not even under the blood, God is not responsible for anything outside of the blood. But if you're under the blood tonight, amen, then we can stand here like Elisha and say there is more with us than there is with him, amen, because we're covered by more than a quote, amen, we're covered by more than a book, but we are covered by the blood. Somebody shout the blood. Amen. Is there power in the blood? Amen. Is there forgiveness in the blood? Is there deliverance in the blood? Is there healing in the blood? See, there's a power in the blood, and that blood is going to come into your heart, and you've got to submit yourself, amen, and come under that blood. The prophet said the whole family had to come, not just one member, and say, well, if dad is a good man, he's a preacher, I'll be saved. He said, no, sir, your godly father and mother has nothing to do with it. You are an individual. I belong to the holy church. That church has nothing to do with it. There is no such a thing as a holy church. There's a Holy Ghost in the church. He said, we are responsible to him, not to a church. Now catch this, we are responsible to him, amen, not to a church. Now I know some people say, well, okay, then we don't have to go to church. That's not what he's saying. Amen. He's saying you're responsible to God and his word, amen, but you've got a duty to fulfill, and that's in a church. Is that okay? He said we are responsible to God and His Word, and God is the Word. The Bible says He was. Now we're responsible to that. That's Jesus Christ. So we find then that in the generation we're living in, that there are actually two elements, amen, that control this generation. There is the element of excuse, and then there is the element of responsibility. See, there's two things that is controlling the world today. That is the power of excuses, or it is the power of responsibility. But you find that excuses are actually given. Amen. Anybody can give excuses. I had a teacher in school. She used to, when you'd come in late to class and you'd have an excuse, amen, an excuse slip. You know what those are? It was a tardy slip. Amen. So you'd go get a tardy slip wrote out and you'd give it to him. Teacher say, take it to your homeroom teacher. And he'd walk in there late on the desk and she'd just look at you and say, what's your dressed up lie today? Amen. Now catch this. An excuse is given. Amen. But responsibility is taken. Excuses are given. Anybody can give excuses, but responsibility has got to be taken. So in other words, you've got to rise up and take responsibility. See, anybody can sit back and say, well, I'm too tired and I don't want to do it and I'm not qualified. Amen. That's excuses. But when somebody rises up and says, you know what? I'm tired of excuses. Amen. I'm tired of giving these. I've been giving them for years, but tonight I want to take responsibility. In the book of Luke, the 14th chapter and the 15th verse, the Bible says, and one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, and he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat the bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. But notice in verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. See, they couldn't unite themselves to come to the feast, but they could unite themselves to make an excuse on why they couldn't come to the feast. And the first said, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Now notice something. They were all given excuses, and what they done was they excused themselves from the feast of the Lord. Their excuses did something for them. Their excuses excused them, amen, away from the presence of God. Remember, said, see, man is always trying to make excuses not to receive God's word of his invitation. Now we see when God gives a man an invitation to do something or to receive the invitation that he's given him and he returns it down, then there's nothing left after mercy is spurned but judgment. So you see what your excuses do is your excuses pushes mercy aside and is little by little by little making room for judgment to come. Listen, before long you're not going to be able to make excuses, amen, because there's a demarcation line. That is a line between the mercy of God and the judgment of God. And the prophet said right now, he said there's people that's crossed the line into judgment, never to return to mercy again. Let me say, if there's a people, amen, that has sealed their doom under the judgment of God, then surely, amen, there's got to be a people in the earth today that has crossed the line into the mercies of God, never to return, amen, to the judgments of God. To think tonight that God sent Noah, amen, as a way of escape, and the prophet said they laughed at him. They made all kinds of excuses, but God made a way, and they made an excuse. They didn't even have to make the way. God made the way. See, right here tonight, you don't have to make the way to worship. God's already made it, but still people won't worship. Amen. Right here tonight, you don't have to make the way to say amen. Amen. The way's already been made, but people still won't say amen. Are you following me? See, sometime or another, you've got to recognize either I'm going to be an excuse giver or I'm going to be a responsibility taker. Amen. This is more than just coming to church. This is more than just paying your tithes. This is more than just singing in the choir. There is a responsibility.
responsibility. Amen. If you're a part of something, then you are responsible to what you're a part of. See, he said they made excuses in the days of Moses. They made excuses in the days of Elijah. They made excuses in the days of Christ. And he said, right here today, they make excuses. He said, who is these people who has been bidden to come to the feast and won't do it? It's the spiritual feast of the Lord. Now what Jesus was trying to tell them was what you're doing is nothing new. Amen. This is nothing new. Israel done this 2,000 years ago. The only thing you're doing is doing the same thing Israel done. Israel made excuses, and Jesus stands before this generation and says, see, your excuses is what killed the prophets. Your excuses is what killed the righteousness that come in those prophets. He said they accepted creeds instead of taking the word of God. And he said, and today they accept creeds and they make excuses of God's word. He says, and they make God's promises of no effect to them. Listen, they weren't up screaming hatred. They weren't up screaming bad words. They were simply making excuses, and their excuses was crucified. I hope you're hearing me tonight. I'm trying to behave. I know this is a youth service, but I'm about to break loose. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, your excuses is going to either kill the Spirit of God in the service, or your responsibility is going to make way for the Spirit of God to come in this meeting. Amen. You can sit there and say, well, maybe tomorrow or maybe next year. Amen. And what you're doing is you're killing, amen, what God is sending to you. But is there anybody here tonight that'll say, Lord, I didn't come to make excuses. I didn't come to tell you why I can't worship. I didn't come to tell you why I can't praise. Right here tonight, there's an amen in my heart. Amen. There's a worship in my soul. I didn't come to play. I come to have church. I didn't come to see who was here. I come to see Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is here, amen, then all things are possible. My, to think tonight, church, that we can make excuses until one day we'll be making excuses for our last time. Now I know that some people say, well, my excuses are good excuses. Well, they may be good excuses. Amen, but let's just face it, they're still excuses. Amen. They may be honest excuses, but they're still excuses. Amen. Excuses like, well, I can't raise my hands because somebody behind me might not be able to see. Amen. Now that's a good excuse. Amen. But there's a way provided to get over that excuse. Are you with me? Well, I mean, I heard somebody say one time, I come out of a meeting, they said, Brother Andrew, said, I tell you, that's the deadest service we've ever been in. I said, well, why is it dead? They said, well, there was somebody over there sleeping in church. And said, the whole time he was preaching, I saw him sleeping. They said, they weren't saying amen or nothing. I said, well, did you ever think about saying amen and waking them up so then they could say amen? See, we make all kinds of excuses and then we leave and say, well, nothing happened. No, there was something happening, but our excuses was sent from the devil to try to block the sunlight of God. Brother said, the long as you let your excuses try to shadow that seed that you know actually lays there, he said, then you're taking the part of Lot. See, to excuse, amen, the presence of God is to take the part of Lot who said, you know what, Abraham, I'm going to go to Sodom. I'm going to be a good man. I'm going to raise my family. Amen. But what he didn't realize was his excuses led him out of the presence of God into a city of perversion. And the prophet said, right now, he said, throw them things away and let the gospel light shine upon there, the power of Jesus Christ. He said, keeping the light off of it will keep it from living. For if the light ever gets to it, it will spring forth to life. Listen tonight, church. Amen. If you right now will take all of your excuses and throw them in the garbage can, I'll tell you what will happen. There won't be one sick person in this building. There won't be one empty vessel. There won't be one demon that's able to raise its head above the power of Almighty God. Listen, we've got a charge here tonight, and that charge is to recognize that there is a seed on the inside of us. And if there is a seed there, how do I know there's a seed there? Because I feel the pull from another dimension. Amen. I feel something pulling. You say, Brother Andrew, I've been here for a long time. And I say, I don't know. Yeah, the devil's telling you that. The devil's telling you you don't know. It's like little boy flying the kite. He said, Brother Benson was out there flying that kite. Said the critic come by and said, young man, said, how do you know that kite's still there? He said, now you can't see it. He said, I can't see it. How do you know that that kite's still up there? He said, well, every now and then I feel a tug. He said, and the tug I feel lets me know the kite's still there. Oh, come on, church. Is there anybody can raise your hand tonight and say, I am a witness. I have felt the tug. Amen. Why are you still here serving God, young man? Because there's a tug. Amen. That's coming from another dimension. Young lady, why are you still here when the devil's put depressions and the devil's put all kinds of complexes, but you're still here tonight? Why are you still here tonight? Because you feel the tug from another dimension that is declaring there is a God somewhere that is calling to that seed that is in your soul. Listen, there's a time that everyone has got to come to. It's the age of accountability or the time of maturity. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, you know what's amazing tonight is there ain't one person here that rode a little tyke's bicycle to get here. Did anybody ride your little tyke's? No, as things been gone for a while. You know why it's been gone? Because it was an excuse to satisfy you when you wasn't old enough to drive a real car. Testing, 1, 2, testing, testing. It's still working. See, it satisfied you at one time, but it was an excuse. See, I remember growing up in the country, we loved trucks and tractors and all that. Amen. And I'd go and I'd see big old tractors and stuff. And I knew as a 5-year-old boy, I couldn't drive it. So what my mom and grandma did, they brought me a little fake tractor, you know, and it wouldn't pick up sand. Amen. But I was proud of it. It had a lever on it, had a bucket on it, could turn the cedar. You know, it was an excuse. It satisfied me for a season, but there come a time that it wasn't going to work no more. See, if I want to get somewhere today, I don't go get on a little tax truck. I get my truck. See, because when you're a child, you have to do things, amen, that are childish things. But Paul said, when you become a man, he said, then you've got to lay aside childish things. He said, you've got to lay aside childish things. Amen, brother. I said, oh, how we need in this journey tonight, we find a place of rest to feast on the word of God so that it'll give us strength. He said, night after night, go to the room and rest and come back the next morning fresh and eat more. For there's a great journey ahead. He said, there's a great battle ahead for the church. I believe that we have been children long enough. Now, it said, I believe we have been children long enough. God's going to turn his church into manhood now. See, we played and frolicked as children, but now. Somebody say now. But now we're going to have to put away childish things and take on manhood and maturity. I believe it was Paul who said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, because he thought as a child. Then the Paul is telling us, amen, that childhood is a thought pattern. But there comes a time that there's a change in the thought pattern. There comes a time that there's a change in the way you look at things. See, amen, children doesn't think about responsibility like adults do. Now you following me? Amen. Now you take a young boy, wakes up 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, 12 years old. He wakes up on Monday morning. He says, you know what, Mom? I got a little cough. I got a little sneezed at you. Amen. He's making all kinds of excuses. You know what, Mom? It's not good. I go to school today. Now let's face it, okay? Mom comes in there and says, well, yeah. Okay, go back to bed. Now, you know what? That child came to that decision a lot easier than a man would. You know why? Because that child, amen, only thing he's going to miss is maybe a couple classes. He's going to miss playtime and lunchtime. Amen. May even miss a test or something, but there's no pushing force. Amen. But if a man wakes up and he's got a cough, is it okay to preach? Amen. If he's got a cough and a sneeze, he says, now, you know what? I don't feel like going to work. I don't feel like going to work. He said, but you know what? If I don't go to work, amen, then money's not going to come in. And if money doesn't come in, then I'm not going to be able to feed my family. Are you following me? And if I'm not able to feed my family, then the bills. See, there comes a time, amen, that you've got to become more than a child about serving God. You've got to put away feelings. Well, Brother Andrew, I'll serve him when I feel like it. A child can say you don't feel like going to school and stay home and miss nothing. Amen. But a man gets up. Is it okay to preach a man gets up and says, I don't feel like it, but if I got to go out there, I'm going to go because I got responsibility. And can I tell you what the church of the living God needs out of the young people? It's not a bunch of feelings. Amen. It's not a bunch of education, but we need some young people that will rise and say, I'll be here whether I feel like it or not. I'll worship whether I feel like it or not. I'll pray whether I feel like it or not, because I'm not a child. I have come into maturity. I am here to serve God. I am here to be a warrior. I am here to carry this message. I am here to sing the songs of Zion. God has placed me here with a responsibility upon my heart to think the message of the hour has come as a present tense message. Let me say this with everything within me. I don't know if you can give me more on this monitor. I'd appreciate it. Amen. This message of the hour is a present tense message. It's not a past day message. It's not a future day message. But this message is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today. You know it. Jesus Christ, the same. See, then you've got to realize that you're not the yesterday. You've got representation in the forever, but you are the today. See, then we are not the church of yesterday. We are not the church of tomorrow, but we are the church of today. See, yesterday is gone. You agree? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised, but today is at hand. See, Paul said, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Paul says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you realize what the word salvation means? It means deliverance. It means safety. It means deliverance from the malevolent station of enemies in an ethical sense, that which concludes to the soul safety. It means a fourfold salvation, which means you are saved from the penalty, from the power, from the presence, and most importantly, you are saved from the pleasure of sin. Oh, are you hearing me tonight? Amen. This message has come not to produce a bunch of young people that's running up and down the court playing basketball when the adults are sitting in the funeral home listening to a preacher that ain't got an ounce of fire in him. Come on. Amen. But this message has produced young men and women around the world. Amen. They're on the front rows. They're in the pulpits. They're behind the instruments. They're singing. Why? Because they saw that this is more than something to play with. This is a responsibility that has come over my life in the day that I'm living. See, the Bible said, see, today is the day. But them said, you look, Jesus is here now, and this is your opportunity. This is the day of salvation. Salvation. Now is the time. Call upon him. This is the hour. This is the time. This is the time of God's calling out of his people. Not another time, but now is the day. Somebody say today, today is the day. Today, today is the day. Say it like you believe it. Today, today is the day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not promised, but right now, amen, this hour, this minute, this moment, I can do something about the commission that has come upon my life. See, you can't help being what you are or what God called you to be. The prophet said, what we need today is more John the Baptist and more with the Holy Spirit. He said, now notice, you can't help being what you are. You realize John the Baptist had a responsibility. John the Baptist's responsibility was to the Word. Right? John the Baptist had a man come in. Now, we're not going to marriage or divorce, so stay with me. Amen. But John the Baptist had a man walk in and say, listen, John, today, don't preach on marriage and divorce. Herod's out there, and there's all kinds of things. Don't do it. You see, but John was not an excuse giver. He was a responsibility taker. John was not responsible to their feelings. He was not responsible to what they thought he ought to say. Verse said he walked out there. He said he got in the pulpit, squared his shoulders back, looked the entire crowd in the face and said, it's not lawful for you to have her. Then you know what that tells me? We didn't come out of a line of cowards. The prophet said, you can't help me with your... John couldn't help but get in the pulpit and preach the convictions of the word, because he was a word prophet. He was responsible to that word. He said, see, and neither can you help being what you are. Even if you are a sinner, you're not responsible for being a sinner. You're responsible for remaining a sinner when there is a way prepared for you. But to be a sinner, you was born that way. Now, in God, and what went you out to see, God doesn't send you to hell for being a sinner. God sends you to hell because you won't repent and take Christ as your Savior. See, you refused to take the right road. Now catch this. You send yourself to torment. There's no preacher sending you. Your mom and daddy's not sending you. Your deacon is not. You send your own self. He said you send your own soul to its eternal destination upon the free moral agency of your own convictions. God does not send anyone to hell. He never did. He never will. Men send themselves to hell because they refuse to accept the way of salvation. See, now notice he's long-suffering, want any to perish, never wanted it, but rather men walk in darkness and light. Now that's the reason they are born in that condition and have no desire to take the light. Now it comes down to desires. Amen. They're born in that condition, but they have no desire to take the light. Now I just got to study this the other day and it really jumped out at me. Amen. Amen. The Brother Man would say, see, messengers come from the east and west, the north and the south. Now that's one thing. He said, and they throw barricades. Now what is a barricade? A barricade is something between you and the way you're going. See, it's something that's trying to stop you from getting to where you're trying to go. Amen. It's a barricade. Are you following me? Amen. And Brother Bam said he sends messengers from the east, west, north, and south and throw barricades. Listen what God puts between an individual and hell. He puts a song service. He puts testimonies. He puts the preaching of the cross across the path of the sinner. And he deliberately, somebody say deliberately. He deliberately walks right through them and then says God is responsible or guilty. See, now notice this. Here is the individual, and we'll say there is hell. Amen. Now let me just stop and say, I see some people here from Brother Brian's church, his sons, Brother Jose. I see different ones from New Zealand. Amen. From Lima, Ohio. I'm from West Virginia. Amen. Different areas here in Arizona. How many preachers have you heard in your lifetime? Amen. How many sermons have you heard in your lifetime? How many song services have you sat through? How many testimony meetings have you been a part of? How many preachers have you heard get behind the pulpit, amen, and preach the power of the cross and the salvation of Jesus Christ? And how many have walked away and said, well, it's not for me. Do you realize what they're doing? Amen. They're standing here and hell is there and they're saying the preaching wasn't enough and the singing wasn't enough and the testimony wasn't enough and the ministry wasn't enough, and they're walking right into hell. Listen, but you know what, brother? They had to fight to do it. Can I get some help here tonight? They had to fight to do it. They didn't casually walk over that. Their conscience told them, you better get down to business. But they walked over that. Amen. If you got a fight to go to hell, then is there anybody here tonight that'll say, I'm going to put forth an effort and I'm going to fight to go to heaven? You got a fight to go to hell. You got a fight to go to heaven. I say, let's put forth our effort and let's fight the good fight of faith. Let's stand up on the convictions of the word. We have got a choice tonight, but thank God it's not our choice. God made the choice from before the foundation of the world. My, to think tonight every man, every woman, every boy, every girl was born in the same condition. Psalm 51 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. See, Brother Bam said, you didn't even come with a fighting chance. Now what that does is that takes away your excuse that somebody in the church had a better chance than you. Well, let's just preach. We're here. Amen. Somebody in the church had a better... Well, Brother Andrew, I tell you what, I'd serve God, but they had a better chance than I did. Brother, I'd be preaching like brother so-and-so, but he had a better chance. You realize I was born in the same sin curse you was? Are you following me? Your pastor was born under the same sin curse you was. There's not one preacher in this message that was not born under sin nature. There is not one singer that'll be honest. Now I know there's some that are liars, but let's just preach it for a minute. Amen. They're perfect and they don't have no bad days. And you know, I have a hard time stomaching them people sometimes. I think sometimes just land and be human one day, you know. Amen. But if he'll be honest, he'll tell you we was all born in the same condition. See, Brother Abraham said, but down inside of you, somewhere, here you come, there was something begin to draw. Then what you find is you didn't stumble in the presence of God, but you were actually drawn. Oh God. Oh Jesus. You was actually drawn in the presence of God. John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Do you see what that word draw means? That word draw means to drag off. That word draw means to place a force upon something higher than what it's placed upon. Do you realize when a fish is out in the water and that hook goes in its mouth, do you realize that fish will run? There's actually a thing. I know I'm in the desert, so hopefully you know this. Amen. But there's actually a thing on a rod and reel. When you catch a fish, it's a drag. And the drag will let the fish drag and let it go for a while. But then all of a sudden that fish is swimming. See, and a man's not worried. The fisherman, amen, I've yet to see a fisherman catch a fish and the drag be on and the fish take off and the man get nervous and start biting his fingernails and screaming, oh, what are we going to do? No, he knows there's a drag on that and that fish can only go so far, and then that drag is going, he's going to begin to reel it in. And when that fish stops fighting and relies upon what is pulling it, it'll pull it into the boat. Are y'all here? Me tonight. Do you realize that there is something greater than your own force here? There is something greater. There is a third pull. Is it okay to preach the message? Amen. There is a third pull that didn't catch a trout. It didn't catch a fish. It didn't catch a catfish. It caught a rainbow trout. And whether you realize or not, you've been hooked. You've been hooked by this message, and you can run into school, you can run into fashion, you can run into Hollywood, you can run wherever you want, but if this message has hooked you, amen, you're going to be drawn by the power of this message, and there ain't no devil going to stop you, because the force that is drawing you is more powerful than the force that is pushing you away from it. Oh, I say tonight, church, we have not been pulled here by man, but the same God that pulled Peter. It's the same God that pulled you. The same God that pulled William Branham. It's the same God that has pulled Doug Baker, has pulled Isaac Hatfield. That's the same God in this building tonight that is pulling you, young man. Are you hearing me? Do you feel the pull? Do you feel the pull? It's not a preacher's pull. It's the pull of Almighty God drawing you. Oh, what made you desire in the first place? Because down in your soul, there was a predestinated seed, which was eternal life, always laying in there, always was in there. See, then there is nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. Am I okay on time? Brother said, then realize in the presence of God how little we are, or somehow or another, it's always stored a great effect upon people to come in the presence of God. Do you find that when a man comes in the presence of God, he realizes that a human being cannot do what's being done? Because it's the presence of Almighty God. Remember, he said, see, that's a night down there at Mexico where that little dead baby laying under a blanket. That little Spanish mother brought her up, her little Mexican mother rather brought her up, when they seen several thousand of those people, saw maybe 50 or 75,000 at one gathering, saw that little dead baby come to life. Women fainted. Now see, let's just go ahead and preach. Because you can't come in the presence of God and not be moved by it. See, as I was sitting in that office and the music began to play, you are out here, but the presence of God is not bound by a wall. The presence of God is not bound by that window. The presence of God come in that back room, and I could feel an atmosphere of worship. See, it's because it's something drawing you. Oh, how many of you was beat here to come tonight? Anybody? Anybody force you? Anybody get out here? Amen. And put a knife to your back or something and say, come on, let's go. Let's get, no, you were drawn here. See, the flyer was only something to get your attention, but there was something greater drawing you. See, you didn't, oh God. You didn't come here by mistake. Amen. These meetings weren't ordained by a coincidence, but something of a higher power was drawing you in the presence of God. He said, and people threw up their hands and screamed. Why? They realized that in a human being could not do that. They were in the presence of Almighty God, and it caused something. Do you realize when you see somebody come to the altar and the man of God lays his hands upon them and they fall out in the spirit and you feel a breeze? You ever been there? You feel a breeze come. Do you realize what that is? That's the presence of God drawing you. Oh God. All things are possible in the presence of God. Amen. The prophet said, see, the thrill of the church ought to be this. The greatest pleasure I know of is to be able to pray until I can recognize that I'm in the presence of God and recognize it. He said, I think that ought to be the thrill of the church is the presence of the Holy Spirit, seeing the God. Are y'all hearing me? Seeing the God that made the promise, standing among us, feel His presence, and see His Word, and see it vindicated. That ought to give faith to make cripples walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. See, do you realize what a privilege you've got tonight? You realize what a privilege you've got? Amen. Anybody ever put something together? I remember in school, I'd come home with a textbook. I had the textbook. Teacher told me what to read, told me what to do, and I'd sit there and I'd look at the problem. And I'd say, you know what? It'd be real nice if the teacher was standing here right now, because I'm reading the problem. I'm reading the material, but the person that put it there, the person that knows about it, is somewhere away. But do you realize tonight, oh, glory to God, do you realize when you pick up your Bible and you begin to read your Bible and something in your heart says, oh, I wish I could understand. Do you realize that the God that wrote that Bible is not a million miles away? Do you realize that God that wrote that Bible is not laying in a grave in Jeffersonville, but the God that wrote that Bible is in this building tonight? I know He's here. He's here in power. He's here in reality. He's here in supreme power. Right now, all you've got to do is ask and you shall receive. See, He's here. Somebody say it. He's here. He's here tonight. But if He is here, all things are possible regardless of the conditions. A person cannot come in the presence of God and remain the same. The prophet of God said, see, the effects. Somebody say the effects. Of His presence. A man cannot stand in a sinful condition in the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is a supernatural presence that brings a natural body under control of the supernatural power. Now, how many here, if you get time, listen to a tape. It's called In His Presence. I'm going to go through these quickly. I don't have time to stop. But if you look at Abraham, Abraham fell on his face when he was in the presence of God. When you look at Moses in Exodus 3, we find that the great servant and prophet of God fell on his face, kicked his shoes off in the presence of God. You look at Israel, a voice of a trumpet exceedingly loud, and Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended in the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Catch this, Moses responded, Israel responded, Abraham responded, they all responded the same. They all came down in a humble position. The presence of God does not exalt a man's ego. Well, let's just preach. Amen. The presence of God does not exalt a man's heart and make him lift it up in his heart. But the presence of God brings a man to a place to recognize God. If you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. And I say tonight, that's where you have got to come to. You've got to take responsibility of saying, God, I can't deal with this on my own. I'm tired of making excuses for it. I'm tired of covering it up. I'm tired of putting it under passwords. Can I preach? I'm tired of trying to hide in the closet and hide it under the bed and hide it from mom and dad. Tonight, God, I want to stand like the patriarchs of the Bible in the presence of God. And when I leave here tonight, God, I want to leave confessed to You, cleansed by You, and set on fire by You. Listen, friends. Oh, I feel like preaching. People say they don't want the presence of God. You know why they don't want the presence of God? Because whatever the presence of God sets it on fire. If it sets on a mountain, the mountain catches on fire. If it sets on your heart, it'll set your heart on fire. And I stand here tonight like Elijah and say, let the fire fall. Let the same fire that fell upon the mountain, let it fall on this building tonight, and let it set every young man on fire. Help me, somebody. Let it set every young girl on fire. Is there anybody that'll say, Lord, set me on fire. Set me on fire. I'm tired of dealing with this. I want to be on fire. There's only one thing going to take it out. That's a fire God. Psychology ain't going to do it, friends. Education ain't going to do it. It's going to take fire. Brother, oh, help me, Jesus. Fire. That's a fire fall. That's what we need tonight. It's the fire of God. How many say, Lord, I want to feel that fire. Lord, I want that fire. See, then what you got to do is stop making excuses on why the fire can't fall. Well, Brother Andrew, the fire can't fall because this is a youth service. The devil is a liar. Well, let's just preach. The fire can't fall because I'm too tired. The devil is a liar. Well, the fire can't fall because I'm too stubborn. Try to tell Peter that. Peter was fishing on the boat, and Jesus come to him, and Jesus said, Peter, what are you doing? He said, I'm fishing. Peter was a stubborn man. Peter said, listen, Jesus, I've toiled all night. Amen. Peter's making excuses of why he's not, oh God, Jesus, of why he's not going to let the net down one more time, because I've toiled all night. I've been doing this for a long time. Are you hearing me? I'm a professional fisherman, and there's no way that I'm going to embarrass myself and humiliate myself as a professional fisherman and let this net down again. But Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, let that net down again. And the prophet of God said, Peter was so convinced that that was more than a man, but that was the Creator. And Brother Abraham said, see, Peter knew. Amen. He was not talking to anybody. Brother Jose was talking to the man that created the fish. Then if Peter was talking to the man that created the fish, then there was power, amen, to take the fish he created and to put him into Peter's net. And the Bible said, Peter said, at thy word, I'll let down my net. Is there any Peters here tonight? Is there any Peters here tonight? Is there anybody that'll say, once more, Lord, I'll let down the net. At thy word, I'm tired, but I'm going to do it again. And the Bible said Peter pulled up a net, and there was so many fish in there, the net broke. Are y'all hearing me? We're not dealing with a man tonight. We're dealing with the Creator. The Creator is here tonight. Oh, he fell on his feet and said, Jesus. See, look at Paul. Look at all of them. Look at John. They all recognized it was in his presence. Now, I gotta bring this to a close, or I'll preach all night. Glory to God. It's real, friends. It's real. We're not playing church. It's real. It's real. Shake your neighbor's hand and say, it's real. Maybe you shook the wrong neighbor's hand. It's real. It's real. Since you believe it's real, brother, is it real? Brother, is it real? Is it real? It's real tonight. See, there's a responsibility here. It's your time. Brother, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it's your time. I'm trying to tell you this is your meeting. This is your message. This is your day. This is your anointing. William Branham was your prophet. Jesus Christ is your God. This is your season. Oh, are you hearing me, church? It's time to stop sitting back and saying someday. Is there anybody that will rise up and say today is the day? Tonight is the night. I'm tired of letting my blessings pass me by. I want it tonight. I want it more than I want a new job. I want a blessing, God. If you get desperate for God to give you a blessing, do you realize God will give you a blessing? All you got to do is get desperate for it. The prophet of God said this. See, all these were influenced in the presence of God. Let's look at Isaiah, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse. We got to hurry, but I'm feeling good right now. Glory to God. In the 1st verse of the 6th chapter of Isaiah, my timer hadn't gone off yet, so we're doing good. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up.
and his train filled the temple. And it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, which are two covered his face, two covered his feet, two covered he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm a man undone because of a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, and having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this had touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. See, the iniquity was an excuse. The sin was an excuse. But the presence of God. Oh, I hope this is okay, Brother Doug. But the presence of God came in the building, and the presence of God carried out Isaiah's excuses by cleaning him and by purging him. And I also heard the voice of the Lord say, notice this, the same voice that spoke, oh God, the same voice that spoke when Isaiah was in a terrible condition, he heard that same voice after a confession. After a cleansing, he heard that same voice, and the voice said, who shall send I, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Brother M said, see, I dedicate this text to young people. He said, everything we do, we are influencing someone else. Uzziah, amen, was Isaiah's hero. Uzziah was brought up under a godly parenthood. Do you realize Uzziah actually had things that Isaiah read, therefore Isaiah become influenced by the books that Uzziah had left for Isaiah to read. Are you following me? Uzziah was a very influential person. But the prodigal God said he served God by convictions. He never catered to popular opinions. He never catered to politics that day. Uzziah's kingdom was so great. I'm hurrying, okay? Hey, but they came from New Zealand, so let's... Uzziah's kingdom became next to Solomon's kingdom. Listen, Uzziah, the glory of the Lord was with him. But notice what happened. Uzziah set an example for Isaiah. As long as Uzziah was in his proper position, Isaiah could follow him. But when Isaiah or Uzziah got lifted up in his heart, see... The prophet said he came to a place you couldn't tell him anything. He knew it all. See, are you following me? Come on, teenagers. He came to a place he knew it all. We've all been there. Amen. But God holds you responsible for the things you say. See, and the brother said, see, Uzziah did something. He said, you know what? If that man can do it, so can I. And he tried taking a priest's place. And when he did, God smote him with leprosy. He said, and he died with leprosy. He couldn't stand to be corrected by the word. But do you catch something here? Amen. You've got to stay in the place that God's blessing you. He said, see, then today, the attitude of the people, they won't take correction of the word. Isaiah was standing there. Isaiah was born a prophet. Isaiah was a prophet, but he got under the influence of Uzziah, and before long, Isaiah couldn't preach like he used to. Amen. He couldn't act like he used to. But watch, the Bible says Isaiah came to the church. Are you hearing me? Then where are you at tonight? You're in the church. The Bible said in the church the presence of God came in. And when the presence of God came in, Isaiah didn't square his shoulders back and say, glory to God, I'll tell you. But Isaiah fell in humility. And from that a prophet says there's three things every prepared servant must be. He must be humble, must be reverent, and must go into action. See, the humility is going to produce a reverence. And the reverence is going to produce an action. Friends, I'm closing out here tonight. But the prophet said, oh, if the church only knew its position, one day it will. And when it does, then the rapture will go. Listen, young people, you're not the generation of tomorrow.
Are y'all hearing me? You're not the future. You're not. You are today. Today is the day. How long are we going to say next year? How long are we going to say next camp meeting? Is there anybody who'll say, God, I hear you tonight. I hear you as plain as day. You're speaking to my heart. You're speaking to my life. I've been playing long enough, but today is the day. Oh, this is not the time to be idle, which means doing nothing. This is the time that we are responsible to go to God and say, God, why did you put me upon this earth? Listen, if a man hires you, he don't hire you to sit there and wait till he comes and tells you what to do. He hired you, and you've got to come ask him, sir, what did you hire me for? And young people, I'm going to get bold here, but it's time to stop sitting there saying, well, if God wants me to do something, he'll come and smack me in the face, and angels will appear, and the fire will come. Oh, sometime or another, you got to get up. Amen. Sometime or another, you got to make a move and say, God, I want to do something for you. Lord, what am I here for? If I'm here to sing a song, sing with all your heart. If you're here to preach, preach with everything within you. Come on, church. Are you with me? Amen. Is there anybody ready to go into action? Is there any young men ready to go into action? We don't need another coward. We don't need another sissy. We need a man that'll rise up with the power of God and will preach this message. We need young ladies that'll rise up and take responsibility of being real women. Are you following me? This message come to do more than produce quotes. It come to produce more than give us something to go to school and argue with the Trinitarians. Let's just face it, it did. This message come to do more than get all of our doctrines right, that we can walk around and say, you know what? We're fully restored people. You've come to a junction. You've come to a place tonight where the prodigal God said it's a Kadesh Barnea. He said you're either going to stay here and keep eating the leek and melons and garlic and honey. He said you're going to rise up and take the land. Brother Andrew, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Jonah was a prophet of God. The Spirit of the Lord comes and says, arise. Arise and go to Nineveh. And you know what Jonah did? He arose. He arose. He got up. But Brother Abraham said he began to shirk the responsibility. He said Jonah had an excuse. You know what Jonah's excuse was? I'm a Jew. They're Gentiles. They'll not hear me. Isn't it something? Jonah gave an excuse before he even tried. Before he ever even walked down there and opened up his mouth and began to cry out against the prophets and cry out against the preachers and cry out, he walks up and says, you know what? They won't even listen to me. They ain't going to listen to me. I'm a Jew. They're Gentiles. He didn't even try. He gets on the ship to go to Tarshish. Do you realize you can't hide who you are? Just dramatize this with me and we're done. Can you imagine Jonah walking down there to the counter? And he walks up there and the lady says, yes, can I help you? Jonah says, yeah, I want a ticket to go down to Tarshish. I want to go down there. She said, aren't you that young man that followed that prophet of God named William Branham? Don't you go to that church of Love Divine or something over there in Tucson? Don't you play the instruments there? See, he was already marked. But when it come time to take responsibility, everything was fine. He was a prophet and he was preaching. When it come time to do something, he said, wait a minute. And I wonder how many tonight can say, Lord, I've been like that. There's been a time that you've urged me to do something and I've tried to hide from doing it. But tonight, Lord, today is the day I recognize. Do you recognize, do you agree we're in his presence? Amen. Then in his presence, you've got to take your responsibility. The message of the hour is revealed that God is going to have a bride. And I say this with all that's within me tonight. Young people, you've got a responsibility. You're not here just to walk around and show off your Nikes.
You're not here to be Michael Jordan's billboard. Because let me let you in a little secret. He's not sponsoring you. Well, I killed the meeting there in 5 minutes. Brother Andrew, what are you saying? Go home and sew rags together and wear, not wear American Eagle? No. But a little announcement here. American Eagle's not sponsoring you. They're not doing nothing for you. Jesus Christ is sponsoring you. He's giving you the breath. He's giving you the hands. He's giving you the life. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with His breath? What are you doing with His life? What's His eyes looking at? What's His ears listening to? What's His mouth saying? Brother Andrew, you're taking this too far. Well, maybe I am, but I'm just going to say it. A prophet said we're His eyes, His hands, His feet. What are you doing with it, Jonah? Are you running to Tarshish to fit in Laodicea? Because it's too much of a burden to crowd against this world? Or is there a Jonah that will rise and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. As the musicians come tonight, the prophet of God tells us that Adam shirked his responsibility. He said from Adam shirking his responsibility, he said the whole entire human race fell under death. He said now the result of the first Adam shirking his responsibility was death, sickness, sorrow, pain, funerals, diseases, wars. One man shirking his responsibility. Brother Kenny, that just blows my mind. That's how important one man really is. That by his decision to step aside from his responsibility and be a man, all that came in the human race. But the prophet said there was another man, the second Adam, who didn't shirk his responsibility. He took it. And he walked up the hill to Calvary and took his responsibility. Do you realize Jonah was running? Jonah paid his own way out of the presence of God. Jonah paid for the ship ride. He paid for everything. When everything God called him to do was already paid for, he just had to take the responsibility of it. I know this is simple, but I hope you're hearing me. And the prophet God said, Jonah got in that ship and said, God was in the storm. God was in the wind. God was in everything, sending Jonah back to Nineveh. God was in the whale. I was preaching one time. I got thinking about Jonah and the whale. I said, you know what? I wonder how Jonah got air. I was just preaching. I didn't even say it out loud. But that night I went back to the room and I was listening to a tape. And the prophet God said, now see, Jonah was in the whale. He said, and you wonder how he was getting oxygen. He said, well, actually, he was receiving breath from heaven. Jonah was receiving inspiration from God in the whale. When he wasn't doing what God called him to do. See, that's the thing. He's not going to leave you alone if you're His. If I make my belly in my bed in hell, He's there. If I go to the sea, He's there. You've been drawn. Do you believe that tonight? Will you stand to your feet with us? Do you realize what you are tonight? You're God's billboard. You know what a billboard is? A billboard is an advertisement. The prophet God said, like the other day, I was driving down the road. He said, while I was going down the road, he said, I saw this sign. It was a billboard. He said, all it said was, hungry, question mark. That's all it said was, hungry. He said, but then it said, 3 miles ahead. He said, now see, it didn't give you the desire without giving you the reality to what was on that billboard. 3 miles ahead, there's something to satisfy that hunger. But you can't stop. You got to keep going. The prophet said, now you're responsible. You're the light of the world. You're responsible for spreading the light. You're not responsible for them receiving the light. You're responsible to take it to them, but you're not responsible for their reaction. And then if God lets them in, that's up to Him. If they haven't got the garments on, so forth. But remember, they cannot see it until God reveals it to them. But you are responsible to take it to Him. To think tonight, friends, God has called us to be a billboard. Young man, God has called you in that school to be a billboard. He's called you on that job to be a billboard. Do you believe that tonight? You're sponsored by Him. You realize the prophet God tells us that Jesus had dirty feet. I'm trying to quit, but I still feel a pull. Jesus had dirty feet. He says He was sitting there in the corner and there was a woman come in and she washed His feet. Do you realize she didn't have a towel? She didn't have water. But she recognized there was a responsibility to be taken. Jesus needed His feet washed. And Brother Zion, she didn't sit there and give an excuse. Well, I ain't got water and I ain't got a towel. She knew if I take responsibility, He will provide the supplies. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I know I slowed way down. But I did it on purpose. Let this meeting tonight change your heart. Let it change your focus. Let it change everything about you that you can leave here and say, Lord, I'm done giving you excuses. I'm done. Tonight, I'm taking my responsibility. Well, I'm not a preacher. You got a responsibility. Will you bow your heads with us tonight? Maybe if you'll play something for us, Brother Kenny. Maybe I give myself away. Friends, I pray that something has been said to help you tonight. I pray there's been a reality come into your heart. Maybe you're here tonight like young Isaiah. Maybe you've been looking to Uzziah. And you've been looking to this and you've been influenced by that. You've been influenced by all kinds of things. But Brother Bram said, I heard him say it today. He said, when God got Isaiah in the temple, God revealed to Isaiah, look up this way, Isaiah. I am your example. Friends, I'm encouraging you tonight. Look up. Look up tonight. Look away from the cares of this world. Look away from the fashions of Hollywood. Look away from the traditions of religion. Look away from the creeds of denominations. Look away from all these things. Look to Jesus tonight. He's not a million miles away. He's in this building. He's here to influence you. See, when you become influenced by something, it influences everything about you. It influences the way you dress, influences the music you listen to, influences the words you say, the way you act. It changes everything about you because you're under the influence. The altar's open tonight. If there would be an Isaiah here tonight that would say, Lord, tonight, I've been under the wrong influence. I hear your word. I hear the sermon. I hear the songs. It's screaming to me. Lord, tonight, I want to confess. Lord, I want to confess I'm wrong. I want to confess I've been under the wrong influence. And Lord, by my confession, I want that confession to make way for a cleansing. Lord, I want to be cleansed by your fire tonight. God bless you, brother. God, I want to be cleansed by your fire tonight. Lord, I want to leave this building in action. I want to leave here with the fire of God burning in my heart. God bless you, brother. We're going to pray here in just a moment. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just you and the Lord, not looking at Uzziah, not looking at Laodicea, not looking at politics or governments or nations. God bless you, brother. Not looking at none of that, but simply tonight I'm looking away to Jesus. Lord, I'm admitting I've been under the wrong influence. It's influencing me away from my prayer life. It's influencing me away from listening to the tapes. And I no longer have a fervent desire to come to church. But Lord, I feel a pull tonight. You realize that pull didn't just come tonight. It's always been there. He's just letting the drag be dragging you out a little bit. But he's reeling you in tonight. Hallelujah. Friends, I'm urging you tonight. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. You hear him knocking? He's knocking on purpose. He wants to come in. He wants to influence you. He put you in that college so that you could influence that college. He gave you that job, not that you could miss church, that you could influence that job by your testimony. Heavenly Father, Lord, all across this building tonight, there's believers. Lord, there's young men, there's young women. Lord, there's young brothers here, Father, no doubt, Lord, upon their lives. No doubt some would feel the call to minister. No doubt some would feel the pull, Lord, to serve in a capacity. Lord, maybe there would be a young girl here tonight, Lord, that would feel the call of God to serve you, Lord, upon her heart. Lord, maybe to work in the Sunday school room. Or, Lord, to work as a housewife or to become married, Lord, and to serve you in the power of what you've called her to do. But Lord, I know while I'm standing here tonight, dear God, symbolically speaking, I'm preaching against Uzziah's influence. Lord, we've got to be real in this generation. Uzziah's influence has come in around this message. Lord, where it seems the young girls were pulled to do things other than what your prophet taught. Lord, where the young men are urged to pull and be pulled to do things that your prophet didn't teach them to do. And Lord, Uzziah's influence has come in and said, well, there's got to be a future. But Lord, we hear the prophetic influence of your word saying, I once was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Lord, maybe Uzziah's influence has begun to influence fashion. Lord, it's begun to influence the music they're listening to. God, I pray tonight, Lord, I pray for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I pray that you would send the angels of God. I pray that you would send a seraphim in this building. Lord, your prophet said a seraphim is not like a regular angel. He said that seraphim makes way in the presence of God to make atonement for sin, to make a sacrifice. He said that out of that sacrifice comes a cleansing. And out of that cleansing comes a fire. I pray tonight, dear God. Lord, you would send a fire into this church tonight, God. Lord, may it begin with me, Lord. May it begin to fan across this building. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure you by the power of the living God. Take your hands off of these young men. Take your hands off of these young ladies. I pray in the name of Jesus, may a fire of God burst in their heart tonight. Lord, may the coal of fire come up off the altar. Lord, may it touch their lips, Lord. May it touch their heart, oh God. Father, maybe they've been saying, I'm this and I'm that, and I want to wear this and I want to go here. But when they leave here tonight, dear God, may they leave screaming, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Father, we turn this service into your hands, Lord. We turn our hearts into your hands tonight. Father, I pray if there would be one that feels the pull to come and to kneel down around this old-fashioned altar, but maybe Uzziah's influence is holding them. I pray the power of God would break that influence tonight. I pray if they feel to turn around right there at their seat right now and bow down before you in the house of God and open up their heart to you, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, they would respond to the call. Lord, I pray they would humble themselves. I pray they would be reverent, oh God. May they go into action tonight upon the pull that they feel, Lord. Lord, we didn't come just to hear Andrew Glover. I didn't come just to see him, Lord. I love to see my friends. I love to fellowship with them. But Lord, I've come tonight with a commission upon my heart. Preach your word, Lord. And I've done what you've called me to do, Lord. And I pray tonight, God, as the atmosphere is here, as the presence is in the building, oh God, may they turn loose of that hold, Lord. May they turn loose of that idol tonight, dear God. Lord, may they turn loose of that opinion. May they turn loose of that creed. Lord God, may they turn loose of whatever is holding them tonight and give them excuses. May they rise up tonight, Lord, and take responsibility in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Kenny, would you lead us in that song tonight? There's some here at the altar. There's some knelt down at their pew. We're not here for form. We're not here for fashion. An altar is a place of change. An altar is a place where it's you and God alone. There's men of God. In a few moments, I'm going to invite them to come and help us pray. I'm not pulling on you. The church is not calling you tonight. God's calling you. God's calling you tonight. Young lady, God's calling you tonight. He's knocking at your heart's door. Will you let him come in? Will you stop giving him excuses? Will you stop telling him why you can't serve him? Will you stop telling him why you can't raise your hands? He knows everything about you. You don't have to tell him. He already knows it. He just wants you to say, Lord, here am I. As our brothers would come tonight and help us pray for these brothers. As the ministers would come. I want you just to close your eyes right now. Forget about what you're doing. Forget about where you're going. Raise your hands before him. Just enter into worship right now. Take responsibility tonight.
Your desires be.
You're a worshiper tonight. Let worship come out of that vessel.
Give myself.
Let worship come out of that heart. Let it flow out of you tonight. In the name of Jesus.
I give myself away.
Oh, yes.
So you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away to you, Lord. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart. Life as a living sacrifice, Lord, all my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands, them in